Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
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 Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
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 Continuing to read from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 25, entitled The Residents of Varanasi Become Vaishnavas, text 66. Nikate Haridwani Suni Prakashananda Dekite Kutukke Ayala Laya Sishya Vrinda. When Prakashananda Saraswati, who was staying nearby, heard this tumultuous chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he and his disciples immediately came to see the Lord. Dekhiye prabhur nitya prema de madhuri shishya gane sanga se bale hari hari. When Prakasananda Saraswati saw the Lord, he and his disciples also joined the chanting with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prakasananda Saraswati was charmed by the Lord's dancing and ecstatic love and by the transcendental beauty of his body. Kumpushwarabhangasveda Vaivarnya Stamba Ashrudaraya Bijaloka Pulaka Kadamba. Ecstatic spiritual transformation began to take place in the Lord's body. His body trembled and his voice faltered. He perspired, turned pale, and wept a constant flow of tears, which wet all the people standing there. The eruptions on the Lord's body appeared like Kadamba flowers. Text 69. Harsadanya chapalyadi sanchari vikara Diki kasi vasi lokir haila chamatkar. All the people were astonished to see the Lord's jubilation and humility and to hear him talk in ecstasy. Indeed, all the residents of Benares, Kasi, saw the bodily transformations and were astonished. Text 70. Lokasangata diki Prabhur bhaya jobehaila sanyasira gane deke nritya sanvarila. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained his external consciousness, he saw that many Mayavadi sannyasis and other people were gathered there. He therefore suspended his dancing for the time being. Text 71. Prakashanandir Prabhu vandila charan Prakashananda sitara dorila charan. After stopping the kirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a great example of humility, offered prayers into the feet of Prakashananda Saraswati. At this, Prakashananda Saraswati immediately came forward and clasped the Lord's lotus feet. And then, text 72. Prabhukai tumi jagat guru pujatana. Prabhu kahe tumhe jagat guru pujatama.
Prabhu kahe tumhe jagat guru pujatama.
Ami tomar nahe hai shishya shishya sam.
Ami tomar nahe hai shishya shishya sam.
Ami tomar nahe shishya shishya sam.
Ami tomar nahe hai
Prabhu kahe tumhe jagat guru pujatam.
Prabhu kahe tumhe jagat guru pujatam.
Amito manahe shishya shishya sam.
Amito manahe shishya shishya sam.
The Chaitanya Charitamrita is a book which describes the life and characteristics of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago in in Navadvip, West Bengal, India. And at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very quickly influenced many people. And after a while, once he was grown, first in his youth, he showed incredible intelligence and incredible learning. And he was able to defeat others in debate, and then he would defeat himself. And then when people were amazed that the arguments he had presented were defeated, then he would defeat those arguments as well. So a highly intellectual personality, a very learned and intelligent personality. And in that way, Navadvip at the time was a place of learning. It was a place where many people would go to study. Of course, the study was not exactly in a modern sense a university town. It was more, they were studying in what they call Sanskrit tolls, or schools where they were studying Sanskrit, so that they had the opportunity to study the Vedic scriptures, which was the object of their studies. No. Nimai Pandit, as he was known at the time, at the end of his youth, took sannyas, and then after taking sannyas, he displayed extraordinary symptoms. He had gone, shortly before sannyas, he had gone to Gaya. Gaya is a place in North India, in the state of Bihar, where traditionally pilgrims have gone for offering oblations on behalf of their forefathers, their ancestors. Gaya is a place where once Vishnu is known to have manifested himself to a great sage. The sage had a vision of Lord Vishnu, and at the same time, Vishnu then left a footprint in the rock. So this rock, as of today, is in a temple, and known as the Vishnupad Mandir, or the impression of Lord Vishnu, is there in the rock. And that rock is still being worshipped. It is by local Brahmana priests. And in that temple, people come to offer oblations on behalf, or make offerings on behalf of their deceased forefathers, so that whatever destination they may now have attained, that if there would be any inauspiciousness in that destination, that they will be relieved from that. So, in that way, Vedic culture offered some solution to the helplessness that people feel after a departed relative. You know, the point where someone has departed and where you kind of feel there's nothing more we can do. Now it's out of our hands. But then Vedic culture still offered the Shraddha ceremony, the ceremony where one could make offerings on behalf of a deceased person who would then get benefit from those offerings. So Nimai went and did that in Gaya. But there in Gaya, he met his spiritual master. And when Nimai came back, he was transformed. When Nimai came back, Nimai was a Vaishnava. But when Nimai came back, he was not just a Vaishnava or a devotee of Krishna like so many others. It was not that he had embraced a philosophy or that he had embraced a process by which he had, to which he had committed himself in the hope to become transformed, as most will do, somehow or other. People will develop some faith, and then in a process, and then follow that process. But Nimai was different, because Nimai had fully realized the fruits of that process. And he was immediately, upon his return from Gaia, showing the greatest symptoms of love of God, which is the ultimate aim of all these practices. The Vedic scriptures offer various processes. These processes are summarized under the nomion of yoga, or an attempt to connect. The word yoga is translated as to connect. To connect with what? To connect with Atma, to connect with one's true self, to connect with also the true spirit that is behind everything. Yes, all that. And more, ultimately, it has to come to the highest state of consciousness. Human beings, it is described, are observing the environment according to the state of their consciousness. Atmavan Daryati Jagat. They behold the universe according to the state of their consciousness. Or we see the world through our own, through an outlook that depends on our consciousness. Very logical. In the Middle Ages, they saw the devil at work. Regularly, he was there, always in the background, lurking and possibly arranging something. So when there was like some disease or something like that, the devil did it again. Just see. And so on. So in this way, the hand of the devil could be recognized everywhere. Now that looks very far away and awkward, and now we see everywhere lurking bacteria and viruses and that are like everywhere around us, and you know, do not touch. Yeah, watch out. Like this. A different worldview, and therefore a different experience of reality. Some people also on a personal level. Some may look at the world with great happiness, some may look at the world through depression, and what they see is a different world. For some the cup is half full, for some the cup is half empty. Like that. The consciousness determines what we perceive. So generally speaking, people follow a process of yoga to bring about a transformation of consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or priorly known as Nimai Pandit, when he came back from Gaya, he immediately displayed extraordinary symptoms of love of God. The hairs on his body were standing on end. He was shivering in just when he remembered the Supreme Lord. So all the devotees were talking about it. In the courtyard of Srivas's house, there was a tree that would always produce flowers even out of season. So since everyone was doing puja in those days, they all needed flowers in the morning, and that tree was really like producing the best. So everyone would go there, and it became the meeting place of the Vaishnavas, where the Vaishnavas would gather and they would collect flowers and at the same time discuss. Have you heard Nimai? Yes, Nimai. He's back from Gaya. No, really. Yes, he is. He became a Vaishnava. Really? He became a Vaishnava. Oh, yes, but not just an ordinary Vaishnava. He became an ecstatic Vaishnava. He became a Vaishnava of the highest order. Now everyone's attention was captured. Now everyone was interested. What is happening here? How is this possible? Suddenly everyone realized what is happening here is no longer ordinary. Here we deal with a great personality. And everyone recognized Nimai Pandit as a great personality, suddenly no longer an ordinary common person like everyone trying to elevate themselves, but someone who was really fully realized. So with great eagerness, devotees assembled and went to meet Nimai, who indeed showed the most amazing symptoms. He was trembling, he was shaking, just in remembrance of Krishna. And whereas, you know, others, they're trying to sort of focus the mind on the spiritual perspective and do their best to control that mind which wants to go all over the universe, just as while chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is how to fix the mind on the Maha Mantra. Some have suggested to have soft music playing that produces alpha waves, which increases the concentration capacity. It may sort of help a little bit, but not convincing. Really, is there another technique? If you can follow. There may be some techniques, but none of them are really convincing. Ultimately, the only thing that will do it, that will bring us to the point of chanting attentively, is love. When there's love for Krishna, love for the holy name, yes, then we can chant that name endlessly, again and again, in ecstasy. Otherwise, we can chant so many rounds, but sooner or later it will become a burden. But burden or no burden, a burden of love, because we know that ultimately Krishna is worthy, we are not, and therefore we continue our chanting even although it may not be in love of God. But Nimai was different. So in this way Nimai displayed the topmost sentiments of love of God and separation from Krishna. To him, a moment of not seeing to Krishna was like an eternity. Anyway, Nimai lived in the community of the Navadvip Vaishnavas for some time, and the Navadvip Vaishnavas began to appreciate that Nimai was a extraordinary personality. And it was Advaita Acharya who began to ponder these qualities. And Advaita Acharya started to wonder, how is it that he can display such symptoms, such extraordinary symptoms of love of God? It's like, we've never seen anything like it. It's practically more than, it is superhuman. Then, when he just thought that, then he realized, because he is more than human, he must be that one personality that we have been waiting for. Advaita Acharya had, for a long time, desired that the Supreme Lord would appear in this world. And one day, in the Gautamiya Tantra, he read a verse, and where it says that if one simply offers me a leaf and some water, that then I will have nothing in my possession to repay that offering. And therefore, I will be compelled to offer myself in return. When Advaita Acharya read that, he called out loud, "Eureka, Eureka, Eureka, I found it." I'm not sure if he used the Greek word, but something to that effect. And Advaita Acharya at least expressed that sentiment. He found the way to force the Lord to appear. And he began to worship the Shalagram Shila with Ganga Jal and Tulasi leaves. Some may call it worship. Others may call it a conspiracy. He was simply trying to force the Lord in this way to come on the basis of that verse of Gaudiya Tantra. Well, but all that time, all that worship, endless worship, and heaven devotees all over the world worshipped and worshipped and worshipped, but where is the result? Where is the result of all your offerings, of all your flowers you have offered to the deities? Is your Lord hearing you? Are you sure? Daily you are waving your incense, and is it really producing any result? Advaita Acharya went through the same fate. He also, Tulsi, Ganga Jal, worshipping his Shalagram Shila, but where were the results? Did the Lord appear? Did that verse from the Gaudiya Tantra become true, that the Lord would appear in this world? No trace to be found. No trace to be found. And many years passed by, and Nimai lived as a child in Navadvip, and no one realized who he was. A young boy, mischievous. When he would see the proud Brahmana standing waist high in the water of the Ganga, chanting their Gayatri mantras at noon, the boy would swim underwater and pull their legs so that they would fall over in the water. Other times, even more outrageous, he would sit on the bank of the Ganges while they would come out of the water, and in his, all cleansed physically by the bathing, cleansed mentally in a state of purity by that sacred water of the Ganga, further magnified by chanting the sacred Gayatri mantra. And then, as these Brahmanas, the emblems of purity, came out of those sacred waters, then there was that boy who had some Ganga water in his mouth and who spit it on them. Can you imagine? I mean, in scriptures, it even is stated, that a Brahmana has to be careful not to see a low-born person. Yeah? But being spat upon, my God, what could be more serious than that? What could be greater sacrilege? They could not understand their good fortune, being spat upon by the Supreme Personality of Godhead with sacred Ganges water, because they could not see who Nimai was. But when Nimai began to display his learning, everyone was amazed. No one had ever been so learned. Still, no one could see who Nimai was. But when Nimai returned from Gaya and began to display these symptoms of love of God, still, no one could see who he was. He certainly was extraordinary. But Advaita Acharya, suddenly, he realized. He realized that he is not an ordinary person. Indeed, he's not an ordinary person. Then, is he the one? Obviously so. He is the one we've been waiting for. Obviously so. He is not a devotee. He is the Supreme Lord himself. And Advaita Acharya then took puja paraphernalia. That day Nimai somehow came to his house, and Advaita Acharya realized that he took puja paraphernalia, and he began to worship Nimai. Namo, and he chanted, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. That, yes, we worship the Brahmanas, and we even more so worship the cows, and because they are all dedicated to that Supreme Lord Govinda, who is the protector of the cows, who is giving pleasure to the cows and the Brahmanas. I'm worshipping that Govinda. And in this way, Advaita Acharya continuously chanting and kept on offering the Artic paraphernalia to Nimai Pandit. Just then, Gadadhar also arrived at the house of Advaita Acharya, and Gadadhar saw this whole scene going on, and he said, "Acharya, what are you doing? Why are you worshipping Nimai Pandit?" "Gadadhar, are you blind? Oh Gadadhar, when will you see? When will you finally develop the eyes to see?" Then Gadadhar saw, and Gadadhar said, "You mean that he is the one that we are..." Advaita Acharya said, "Yes, he is the one that we are..." And Gadadhar joined in that worship. And from there on it spread, the awareness that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not long after, he sat on the altar in Srivas's house, and then so many devotees came and Nimai proved that he was the Supreme Lord by knowing so many things, so many private things that so many devotees went through. One devotee, a grihastha, with a wife and a young beautiful daughter, one night was traveling alone, and then they were being followed by Muslim soldiers. So, oh my God, what's going to happen? So they moved very fast, trying to stay ahead. Then they came to a river. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Do you remember that night?" Oh, the devotee said, "Oh God, do I remember that night?" "Yes," Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. "And do you remember that then, out of darkness, suddenly from the river, as you stood at the river wondering what to do now, the soldiers were coming closer and there was no escape. Then out of nowhere, out of the dark, this boat appeared. That boatman was I." And it's like the devotee was all like, oh my God, the Lord saved us. So like this, many, many stories were there. To Advaita Acharya, Lord Chaitanya, it is described that Advaita Acharya was before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regularly giving lectures and discourses on scripture in his house. Whereas before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the house of Srivas, there was kirtan going on. So these two houses, they were like the places where the devotees would gather. And Advaita Acharya had one mission, and his mission was to explain the Bhagavad Gita in the proper way, to give the Gitira Satchirapat. The Gitira Satchirapat means the true part, means explanation, the true explanation of the Bhagavad Gita, the Gitira Satchirapat. Or he wanted to present the Bhagavad Gita as it is. But he had a difficulty in doing so from time to time, because he had to somehow or other, come up with the personalist understanding of all the verses of the Gita. So sometimes he was puzzled and wondering how to understand a particular verse. But then, in a dream, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would appear and would, in that dream, would reveal to him the meaning of that verse. At the time, in the house of Srivas, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seated on the altar and had revealed his identity as the Supreme Lord and everyone was worshipping him, at that time, Advaita Acharya was struggling with one particular verse from the 13th chapter, which explains that everywhere are my hands, everywhere are my feet, everywhere are my faces, and like Advaita Acharya. Boy, how am I going to explain this one? This one really looks a bit like, you know, an all-pervading type of manifestation of the Lord. And how to explain this one as a verse that is establishing the personal features of the Lord? And impersonalists were using this verse, quoting it again and again, to establish their impersonal doctrine. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time in the house of Srivas explained that verse. And he said, Advaita Acharya, you've been wondering about the meaning of this verse. The meaning of this verse is simply, it's referring to the super soul who is within the heart of all living beings. And in this way, the Lord has his hands and feet and faces everywhere. In this way, he's present in all these features everywhere. And yet, he is also still the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How could I miss that one? So obvious. We find now in the commentary of Baladeva Vijayabhusan, we find that same explanation. And now if you read the translation of Srila Prabhupada, we read that Srila Prabhupada put it in there, the super soul, although it's not there in the original text. And we can see that just in those few words of Srila Prabhupada, in that apparently liberal translation, there's a whole tradition there. Advaita Acharya is there in those words. Baladeva Vijayabhusan in his commentary has echoed those words and is also there. In this way, we appreciate that verse in the 13th chapter. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had revealed his transcendental identity as the Supreme Lord to a group of devotees. And that's how it stayed in Navadvip. A group of devotees was aware that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Lord, but it never went beyond that. Otherwise, people thought, oh, he's a great personality, he's a great saint, but not beyond that. And even in history, in the eyes of many, it has remained like that. Yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's fame and glory started to really spread after he took sannyas. Because after he took sannyas, he started to publicly display these extraordinary symptoms of love of God. And he started to preach widely. And he started to travel to South India. And many people became influenced. And his fame started to spread. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even during his lifetime, became worshipped as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There were even temples in Orissa that were dedicated to worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord during his lifetime. So gradually, his fame began to spread and he became known as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon his travels, came to Kasi, also known as Varanasi, situated on the bank of the Ganga, the place of Lord Shiva, the home of the impersonalists. He encountered this group of impersonalist sannyasis headed up by Prakashananda Sarasvati. This episode is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in two parts. The first part in the Adi Lila, and the second part in the Madhya Lila. In the first part, there is a story where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is somehow or other invited to visit those sannyasis, and out of his causeless mercy decides to do so, but he doesn't want to sit with them. Instead, he sits at the place where the shoes are put. And everyone's a bit shocked. What is wrong? Are you in a? Why not sit with us? You are a sannyasi in our company. You belong here. Please join us. What is the cause of your despondence? They thought he must be depressed. At the same time, they saw his great effulgence. So it was that effulgence that they saw that convinced them that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Narayan. Thinking more along the lines that he had realized, the impersonalist is thinking that the perfection of spiritual life is that an individual loses his individuality, his sense of individual identity, and rather realizes his oneness with the supreme, all-pervading Brahman energy, and thus that he realizes his divine identity. So they worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Narayan. Om Namo Narayana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not very pleased with that. Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. And was pointing out that it is that Krishna, Krishna Matirastu, that may Krishna be on your mind. And thus they could understand he was a Vaishnava. And ultimately, it came to a philosophical discussion. That philosophical discussion comes up in the Madhya Lila. And in that discussion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins to explain, a direct explanation to the Vedanta Sutra. A direct explanation up to that point didn't exist. Shankaracharya, who has propounded the impersonalist philosophy and who made it prominent, gave a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the commentary of Shankaracharya was indirect in the sense it was an interpretation of the text, not a literary explanation of the text. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a literary explanation of the text, and that established that that actually the Supreme Personality is not only all-pervading Brahman. The Supreme, rather, consists of three aspects, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan, Iti Sabjate. Of Brahman, the all-pervading spiritual energy, also of Paramatma, the super soul within the heart of every living being, and finally, as Bhagavan, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established that that relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead was the topmost spiritual experience. And he explained that, because he explained that love is the greatest sentiment or the greatest experience, the greatest state of consciousness. That is quite, that makes sense. Anyone with common sense can sort of pick up on that. If we walk around, I hate the world, that's not the highest state of consciousness. That love being the highest state of consciousness, that when that love is directed towards the Supreme Lord, that then we have the greatest objective of that love, which includes everything. Not just love between man and woman, love for a family, or love for a community. I love all the Gujaratis, because I'm also Gujarati. I love them too much, yes. But only Gujaratis. The Tamils we don't love. No. We have Gujarati and Tamil. Not a good combination. So, like this, no division, because that love for the Supreme Lord goes beyond love for family, love beyond community, love beyond nation, an all-inclusive love, a love for all living beings, love for all humanity, love for the entire creation. But more than that, even greater love than for the creation, love for the Creator. The creation itself has two sides, right? A pleasant one and a not so pleasant one, as we all know. But because we see the all-loving Supreme Personality of Godhead behind it, and when we see that suffering in this world is like the loving slap of a parent, for a disobedient child, right? Then we appreciate that ultimately the world is all good because the Lord is all good, and we can love the Supreme Lord. And we can love Him the deepest in His personal feature, because there we can have exchange. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained how that exchange, that personal exchange, is what brings love to the higher levels. One can appreciate Brahman, the all-pervading loving goodness of the Lord, His omniscient, His omnipresent love. Yes? His goodness that touches every aspect of the creation. But greater still is that personality that deals in so many amazing ways, that captures the heart, and that one can relate to, that one can make, that one can serve, and then reciprocation will come. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed all this knowledge. And the Mayavadi sannyasis of Kasi became transformed. That transformation has already taken place at this point of the entire narrative. Where we have come now, in Benares, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already changed the minds of these Mayavadis. And therefore, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started public kirtan, he became so ecstatic because of his love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and His amazing qualities, and Krishna's reciprocation with the love of His devotees. A constant exchange of loving dealings that exists between the Lord and the devotee. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, living in that intimate relationship of love, now displayed the symptoms of ecstasy, and everyone came to see it. And the Mayavadis, who had now become touched and convinced with the science of devotion, but who had themselves not yet realized that love, right, were amazed to witness these symptoms. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in their presence, became shy. Because after all, although they had changed their minds only yesterday, they were hardcore impersonalists who were denying the personal form of the Lord. Who were saying, that personal form of the Lord is illusion. As it is said, they were Mayavadis, adhering to the doctrine of Maya. The doctrine that the personal form of the Lord is illusion. The doctrine that the eternal abode of the Lord is illusion. The doctrine that service to the Supreme Lord is illusion. And thus, they are known as the adherents to the philosophy of illusion, the Mayavadis. But now, this Mayavad philosophy exposed for being poor, and the wealth of the full worship of the personality of Godhead displayed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now these Mayavadis were amazed. Still, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu developed some shyness in front of them, and suspended his dancing for the time being. He stopped the kirtan, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a great example of humility, offered prayers to the feet of Prakashananda Saraswati, a guru of 60,000. But then, in the verse that's on the board, when Prakashananda Saraswati caught hold of the Lord's lotus feet, the Lord said, "My dear sir, you are the spiritual master of the whole world. Therefore, you are the most worshipable. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not even on the level of the disciple of your disciple." So, the Mayavadis, generally speaking, were proud of learning. Learning was their business, because the approach is that only through a philosophical adjustment can one see everything as impersonal. Because wherever you look, you see personality, individuality. Are there two people the same? Two animals the same? Two plants the same? Wherever we look, we see individuality, and only through some intellectual adjustment, by looking behind, by looking through a philosophical process, can one see reality as impersonal. Otherwise, we see personality everywhere. So the Mayavadis were accustomed to studying philosophy, and in this way, constantly relativizing whatever perception they had. And they spent their time in this way, in their philosophical pursuits, and were greatly learned in scripture. And along with that learning came pride. Because learning places one on a platform of superiority above all others, in insights, in understanding. And thus, generally speaking, the impersonalist sannyasis were proud. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the opposite. He showed the greatest symptoms of love of God, and then he showed great humility by bowing at the feet of Prakashananda. But then, it showed that the transformation of Prakashananda was not only external, but that he had not only he was ready to admit philosophical defeat, and that he had seen a greater philosophical concept than what he adhered to so far in the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the supremacy of the Supreme Person. Not only that, but he had also come down from his platform of pride, and that we see. He caught hold of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "You are the spiritual master of the whole world. I'm not even on the level of the disciple of your disciple." And that is the theme of today's verse. Then there's a very short purport which says, Mayavadi sannyasis generally call themselves Jagat Guru, the spiritual master of the whole world. Many consider themselves worshipable by everyone, although they do not even go outside India or their own district. Out of his great magnanimity and humility, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as a subordinate disciple of Prakashananda Saraswati. We understand that, yes, he did so out of his humility, and he did so to test Prakashananda, to test whether Prakashananda had really fully transformed, and to show to the world that Prakashananda indeed had a change of heart. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought that out to the public, the change of heart of Prakashananda Saraswati. And in that way, the glory of Vaishnavism, of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right, as the superior experience, as a greater, as a relationship of greater intimacy with the Supreme Lord, that became established by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence there in Varanasi and there in all across India. And from there, Srila Prabhupada ultimately brought that knowledge to the Western world. And thus, here in Radhadesh, now is this place which is dedicated to the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where we appreciate that yes, the Supreme Lord is manifesting himself in different ways. He is the all-pervading Brahman. But what kind of relationship can you have with the all-pervading Brahman? He is the Paramatma in the heart of every living being. He is. But in his personal feature, he is Krishna. We can worship him now on the altar. We can worship him and make our offerings to him and appreciate his beauty. But that's not all there is to it. What else is there is that the Lord is reciprocating. And according to the surrender of the individual devotee, the Lord will reciprocate. And eventually will reciprocate to the point where the devotee sees the Lord face to face and can actually witness the eternal pastimes of the Lord right here and now, even while in this human body. So in this way, we can appreciate how this temple representing that special loving exchange between the Supreme Lord and his devotee is a little haven, a little spiritual island in the world, and where somehow or other we all can come from time to time, stay for some time. Some may even live here for some time. And in that way, we get the eternal benefit of our stay. So with that, I sort of have covered the subject for today. If there are any comments or questions. Can I explain why the Lord is taking the form of a devotee who loves himself? Mm-hmm. There's a dual explanation for that. There are external reasons and internal reasons. The external reasons are that sometimes when you're trying to teach people, it's not easy to transfer knowledge. When you explain, the audience may not always get it. Now, if we compare the different yugas that exist, the different ages in time, ages meaning periods in the history of the world that last hundreds and thousands of years. These are like the seasons of the universe. So, in different seasons, in different ages, there are different people. In the Satya Yuga, which is the longest time ago, in the Satya Yuga, people were highly qualified. And they were all transcendentalists. Many went back to Godhead. The ones who didn't make it eventually took their birth in the Treta Yuga, a period of lower caliber. And there they were taught in a more simple process. In the Satya Yuga, it was only meditation. In the Treta Yuga, it becomes sacrifice. To overcome selfishness. Many took advantage, went back to Godhead. Those who still were not pure took their birth again. And it was difficult for them to be pure in their behavior. They took birth in the Dwapara Yuga, had a shorter life. In the Dwapara Yuga, the process of deity worship was introduced to regulate their activities through prescribed behavior. See? In deity worship, everything is prescribed. So that sort of controlled them. And then there were those cases, the ones that were hard to educate. For them, there was a special educational institution, a special school for students with learner's difficulties. That was Kali Yuga. And in that Kali Yuga, here we were, and supposed to learn about devotion. Yeah, I know all about that. Sure. Devotion to yourself. Right? Yes, you know. Because I'm God, isn't it? Yeah? So then it all rhymes. Yeah? My selfishness has now brought its fruits. Yeah? All my life I've been selfish and now I've attained perfection because I've just realized that I am God. I am everything. My ego has just swollen to include everything. So in this way, the impersonalism was getting quite popular. It was rampant. It was spreading everywhere. And it took India by storm. And it didn't stop there at all. Oh no. Even the Western world, right? The Christians came in Europe and they got rid of all the demigods. There is only one God and no more demigods. And that sort of got rid of a whole personalist universe. Then the brothers Wright flew above the clouds. And did they see any angels there? Sorry. There was nothing there. Christianity had to withdraw in its second position. Actually, that is just a mythological, simple description for the common man. Right? God really is all-pervading love. And thus, there also impersonalism set in. It set in everywhere in the world in so many ways. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna observed the condition of the world. And Krishna decided to come into this world, to drive out that impersonalism, which is so rampant in the age of Kali, and to establish the worship of himself. But he knew, for students with learners' difficulties, all that will work is when I teach by the example. And thus, he taught by his own example. He became a devotee of Krishna. And in this way, he himself got the opportunity to taste what it's like to be a devotee. That was the internal purpose of his appearance. So he also got something out of the whole thing, some fun, tasting how it was to worship the Supreme Lord. Something he hadn't done before as the Supreme Lord. So in this way, he himself was also relishing the whole experience, and everyone became transformed. Like that. Okay. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.